Hello and welcome to Brough Offcast, English language Brough Cabano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm turning up without a mask at a restaurant near you.
Ah, hello Roman. How's it?
Still got it, baby. A job for now.
Yeah, as our friend and not podcast listener Dan Watson said, hey, it's only two health ministers till Christmas.
I love it. Well, Brough Offcast now needed more than ever to counteract the boredom, which is now the new 9 o'clock curfew, which we're coming in tomorrow.
Yeah. So
do we have any content?
To attempt to counteract said boredom, we are going to go slightly off beam because there's no football happening right now, not in this country at least. So we're going to take a leaf from our Gentleman Ultras banner and we're going to do an entire programme dedicated, well, as well as the regular slot, Spear of the Podcast and Hot or Not, etc. We have got an entire programme dedicated to Brno, Coventry, Aberdeen, which is going to be a thing that we're going to do now.
Yes.
Okay.
Partially.
Right. Let's go then, shall we? Now, we had ideas of what to do in this. My thinking was, if we're not doing a Brno football episode, we're doing Coventry, because it's my hometown team, and Aberdeen, because it's your hometown team. And the idea was that we were going to have, you know, a bit of history, maybe an important moment, maybe a, you know, a club icon, just to give people a little bit of, you know, what we're about. You didn't really do that, did you?
No, I did something a little bit different. I thought that no one really cares about Aberdeen Football Club that much.
No one really cares about Coventry either. But I thought I'd do it anyway.
Yeah, but you've got a team in England, so it's cool and sexy and stuff. So.
As cool and sexy as Coventry.
So I have some bits and pieces. Yeah. Right. Thinking that there are far better resources for the Dons than I am. So I will be jumping in and out, as well with our usual sections. I thought we'd have a little quiz that our listeners could join in with.
Okay.
And it's only three questions, so it's nice and short.
Fair enough. You said I should listen to these and come back to them. If I know the answers, can I jump in?
You can, but this is called Only Wrong Answers.
Right, okay.
So I don't want the right answer. I want your wrong answers for it.
Okay, wrong answers only.
And this allows us to have that, you know, that interaction thing they always talk about where you're supposed to interact with your audience and then they start liking you and they start listening to you more and sharing.
I've never
and
heard
stuff.
Of that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I saw it on YouTube or something.
All right, fair enough.
Saw it on Twitch. I thought this would be a good way of people to bombard the Facebook and Twitter.
All right.
So would you like three questions?
Yes.
We'll come back to them later to see what your wrong answers are.
Okay, yep.
Question one. Mm-hmm. Walker's Crisps initially released two football-themed flavours, salt and Lineker, and the other was...
Right, okay.
Cheese and Owen, right?
Right.
So, they added another flavour in 2001. What was that flavour?
Okay, all right. Good.
Would you like number two?
I would, yeah.
US, and I'm obliged to say this because it's a US sports site, the Bleacher Report, named Swansea City's mascot as the best in English league football. Name that mascot.
Right, okay, yep.
And the third, it's a welcome return to everybody's favourite football team, the Cape Coast Mysterious Dwarfs.
Hey!
So, they play at which stadium in Cape Coast, Ghana?
Good. All right, I'll have a think about those, and we will come back to them towards the end of the show. Good stuff. I feel really bad now because I've done like some actually boring history shit.
No, I'll jazz it up. I'll say cool little things in between.
Right.
Because I am actually interested in the history of Coventry City Football Club because I know fuck all.
Okay. It's not going to be that long. We don't have a lot of history, to be honest.
It can be as long as Jimmy Hill's chin.
That's pretty long. It's pretty long. Anyway, sit back, children. As Jakob formed in 18.
This will be funnier, David. So,
it's a fair point. My mob, Coventry City, we were formed in 1883 as Singers FC.
Was it the factory?
Yes, making...
I always get this wrong, and I always say sewing machines, and it's not. It's bicycles.
It is bicycles, yes, very good. Coventry having a history of not sewing machines, okay. Then, you know, like transporty things. They were Singers FC until 1898, and then they became Coventry City FC. They were elected to the Football League in 1919, where they stayed for a while until 52. This is the really, really, really dull bit. Relegated from the third division in 52 and re-elected to Division 4, as it was then, and were promoted from Division 4 in 1958-59.
Re-elected?
Yeah, it's because...
the Qatari League or something.
Well, initially you had to be elected to the Football League in the first place.
Yes.
And then I think they won something like the third division south, or relegated from the third division south into like another regional league, and then Division 4 appeared.
Mm-hmm.
So they were kind of like maybe they didn't win the league, but they were re-elected again as the most capable and, you know, sort of biggest club to, you know,
so
scutter out of that bottom league.
So it was Brojovka 2020.
Basically,
UK,
yes.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, they then appointed that man with the big chin.
Jimmy Hill.
That's the chap, yes.
Who's got a bigger chin, by the way? Jimmy Hill or Reese Witherspoon? Who do you think? Because Reese Witherspoon, you see their chin? It's pretty big.
It is pretty big, yeah. Maybe she's like the secret love child of Jimmy Hill and...
Jimmy
think.
Hill and please name player.
I know, yeah. It's, yeah.
Schuster's wife.
A welcome return for that meme. Thanks for that, yeah. So they appoint Jimmy Hill as manager. They win the third division 63-64 and the second division in 66-67, getting themselves up in 1967 to the top division, where they stayed for 34 years until 2001.
It's some achievement.
It is, yeah, never finishing higher than, I think, either 9th or 11th, something like that, mm-hmm. which is incredible. There's some ridiculous statistic, like, we escaped relegation on the last day 16 times mm-hmm. or something like that. I can't remember the exact number, but it was daft. There was a sort of saying going around, if the Titanic had been painted sky blue, it never would have gone down.
Okay, that's quite good.
Yeah.
I guess there is a sort of a serious point there, because was Coventry like this? Because like Coventry, especially like when it's down in the sort of the lower, sort of echelons of the league, has always been seen as a very well-supported team, in the sense you're regularly getting, you know, sort of like the, you know, six figures, where, you know, other clubs, you know, five figures.
Yeah.
There we go. I don't work in accountancy. Where, you know, lots of teams maybe would not. But like, was it already a big team when you had like Jimmy Hill over, or was it one of these ones that sort of grew a sort of a supporters base? Because I know he did a lot more than just manage.
Yeah, it wasn't that huge. I mean, it's part of being a one club city, which helps. You know, it's not like we're split like Birmingham or even Bristol, for example. So, you know, having one club is almost, but the Jimmy Hill years definitely did help, because he really galvanized the city behind the team, as we will see later on. It also doesn't really help that, or it didn't help that we're very geographically congested in the Midlands. There are some really big clubs mm-hmm. around and about this, you know, Villa, Birmingham, Wolverhampton Wanderers, who were huge in the 40s and 50s and that. Not Leicester City so much, but, you know, Birmingham, West Brom, historically quite big in that sort of region. But, yeah, I mean, we were, yeah, always pulling in decent crowds in the top division. I think our highest attendance was 56,000 or something like that, which
pretty
is
good.
Is pretty decent. In the derby, actually, against Wolves. Uh-huh. So, yeah, so 34 years in the top division, pretty decent. In 2005, we sadly left wonderful, wonderful Highfield Road, which had been our home for 106 years, for the white elephant known as the Ricoh Arena, which we are not playing at currently.
With built-in casino.
With built-in casino, yes. Great. And conference facilities. I was actually reading, I had completely forgotten about this, but England's ill-fated bid for a World Cup around that time, I think either 2006 or 2010, uh-huh. England bid. I think it was 2006, because we moved in 2005, so it was finished. But the idea was that the Rico was going to host some group games and would be a 45,000-seater stadium. Don't even need the 32,000-seater that it turned out to be. That would have been even worse. But anyway, yeah, that was the beginning of a fairly calamitous fall. We were relegated in 2012 to League One, 2017 relegated to League Two, but we did win the EFL Trophy. That was kind of fun. I was there for that. That was good. 2018, promoted via the playoffs to League One, and this past season, 2020, promoted from League One as champions to the Championship, which is where we are now, having been thumped by Blackburn Rovers last weekend, and we've got Middlesbrough away tonight as we're recording this.
Colin Wanker's Middlesbrough.
Colin Wanker's Middlesbrough, yes. Going back to Highfield Road briefly, we have mentioned it was the first all-seater stadium in England, not the first one in Britain, that being...
Was it ours?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Was that Aberdeen? Yeah. All right. If you want the potted history of Aberdeen, by the way, Aberdeen was founded in 1903, got up to the first, the first division, the top flight, and pretty much just stayed there. There you go. I think we were the first to have a dugout as well.
Oh, that's nice.
And I believe one of the first, at least in Scotland, to potentially have floodlights. Though I'm not sure.
Isn't that just ejecting a stray dog in Scottish?
Floodlight, no dugout, but yeah. I don't really know what to say at this point. That was a very good history of Coventry.
One thing I did find out, actually, was Highfield Road was hit by many, many bombs during the war, as the entire city was. Yeah. But because it's quite near the centre of town, or was quite near the centre of town, it was bombed so heavily that the morning after a particularly nasty raid, people woke up to find, you know, those old school turnstiles that are like 6'5" high, proper old school turnstiles. They found them in Gosford Park, which is half a mile away.
That's quite something.
Yeah, the turnstiles have been blown half a mile by the force of the bombing. It's pretty amazing.
That is fantastic. Well, not fantastic.
No, I mean, not really. No,
I mean, I believe, you know, there was the Coventry Blitz was quite bad, with many, many losses of life.
Indeed, yeah. For turnstile hurling world championships, unsurpassed.
Did you ever make it out to Highfield Road on a regular?
Not on a regular basis. No, my parents are not football fans, and I got into football quite late, so we never really got out there. But I saw a couple of games out there, which was nice. My dad was occasionally dragged along to games as a youth, mainly for the pints.
Uh-huh.
But not because he cared really for the football. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. You had season tickets at Don's, though.
Right? I had like a season since I can never remember if it was like 8 or 9, but it was around that sort of time until pretty much till I left for uni in Glasgow. So I had a season ticket for years. And then when I was, got to the sort of the age where you were sort of trusted to sort of come back in one piece, you know, sort of like right, 13, 14, then I was sort of regularly going to watch Aberdeen away as well. And that's something that only really stopped when I, you know, well, for obvious reasons, when I moved to Burnaby, because you can't just sort of hop on a plane back to watch games when you want. But Scotland is, well, the Scottish Premiership at least has a, you know, the Central Belt just has about 3/4 of the, you know, of the teams at least in it. Mm. So it's very easy to just, you know, jump on a train for an hour and you'll get somewhere. So it was very good for that. But I've unfortunately watched a lot of Aberdeen games during the fucking dreadful period of the club's history where we've just been, you know, like, just look useless and regularly like finishing ninth in 10 team leagues and then ninth in 12 team leagues, and it's, you know, it wasn't very good, and occasionally doing Europe and then doing something weird like drawing with Bayern Munich. You know,
yeah, there are lots of people who like on a Cov front, say that like we're one of those teams who should be a top division team, not because we won anything, but just because we were a fixture for so long. Mm-hmm. And there are also lots of teams who really, really irritated by Cov, particularly, again, it's a second mention this pod for Dan, who is an Arsenal fan, who's like, who fucking hate Cov. We could beat anyone, never seem to beat them. Cunts. So, yeah. They were a sort of bogey team for lots and lots of people. I think because Harfield Road was generally a pretty tricky place to go. Mm-hmm. Small, compact, you know, very close to the pitch, little ground, generally full. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so we can move on to another section. We've got the regular ones. We've got Beer of the Podcast. We've got Hot or Not. Have you got Hots or Nots?
I do. They're very short, to be fair.
Do you want to do those now, then?
Let's do those now.
Okie doke. There's some Hot or Nots on our podcast. Tonight in this part of the show, you can hear the sound of opinions being held. You know what I mean? It's Hot or Not.
It is Hot or Not.
Do you know what that song is? Do you want to?
Yes, well, it's
hazard a guess.
It's There's a Kind of Hush.
Yes.
By Herman's Hermits.
Very good, yes.
I don't know. I, for some reason, going around my head was Jerry and the Pacemakers. It's like, it's not. But yeah.
Same sort of deal. Yeah, same sort of deal. I've got one Hot and one Not.
I do as well.
Okay. Give me your Not first.
Tories, David. Tories, okay, yes, are my good. Tories are my Not.
Yep. Good solid Hot there. Not, I mean.
Watch your mouth.
I'm sorry.
Yes. I see that back in very normal, normal, regular Ireland, there's
yeah, good one.
A tendency now to think that everything is fair game for debate, even the idea of do we feed children now? And then you call somebody a scumbag for saying you should not feed children but give lots of people, you know, like backhanders and tax cuts or whatever. That's apparently, you know, terrible.
Fine.
You can't call them scum. This is a big outrage, blah blah blah. I don't know. I'm just upset at Tories.
Yes. I think that's a very good Not. I think every reasonable human being should be angry at Tories, frankly.
Yeah, the problem is that they're not. That's the problem. Like, this is the thing. But everyone always talks a good game. Oh, these are terrible people, and then they sort of go to the ballot box and go, you know, actually.
And conveniently forget, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like the rich flatmate at uni that always steals your eggs. Get your own fucking eggs.
Good, yeah. Nice egg-based analogy.
I mean
there.
That in a something that's in my bit of the fridge thing, not in a weird fertility thing.
Right, yes. I don't think anyone was suggesting that would have been a weird fertility thing. But
David, save this section.
Right. Arguably, my not, Sam, is the Brazilian league system.
Ooh, because it's weird.
Yes. Mainly because a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about Carvina, were we not?
Yes.
Now, Carvina, I forgot to mention this then, but they have three players from a team called Capivariano. I believe that's exactly how you pronounce that, even though it's Portuguese and probably doesn't sound like that. Anyway, they play Capivariano in the Sao Paulo Serie A3.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, what's that when it's at home then? And had to dive into the ridiculous minefield that is the Brazilian Football League pyramid. Are you aware how it works?
I believe
at all?
They have multiple championships, if I remember correctly.
They do.
They have like
yes.
two leagues and stuff like this. It's all very strange.
Oh, they have more than that, yes. They have the national championship and the state championship,
uh-huh.
right? The national championship is Series A to D, Serie A to D. Mm-hmm. And each state has their own championship, which is Serie A to C.
Yes.
Now, if you are a big enough team,
you play in both,
yes. which is why the state championship season is truncated into about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, the Sao Paulo state season will have teams like Botafogo and Corinthians and mm-hmm. all the big teams who will, of course, win that But then they also play in the national championships where they're playing nationwide. The only reason that the bigger teams continue to play in the state championships is that the state champions get into the Brazilian Cup. And that is the only way to get into one of the continental championships.
Right.
You can't do it by the national league. So, yeah, exactly. Your face is looking about how I was looking.
I mean, I knew there was sort of a split league, but I thought it was almost like going to be like a summer and winter sort of thing. Like,
no.
Like, this is worse than Argentina.
Yeah. Sometimes they actually play like at the same time if they can't work out the fixtures. You'll be playing state 1 week, national the next, and it all gets into a horrible mess.
The only thing that could make this worse is if they do that Argentina thing as well, of like getting relegated on like average points over three seasons or whatever. That's mad.
Yeah, South American football is weird, man.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And I mean, even outside of all this sort of stuff, like, which of the leagues, actually, would it be the National League or the State League that gets, like, some Brazilian people so worked up that they do those things that you see on YouTube, like, go and trying to hack the referee to death and chase them, you know, down the tunnel and shoot them and stuff like that?
I think it probably depends on how big your club is. I think if you are Corinthians or something, like, your biggest game is probably a state championship derby against Botafogo or something. But I don't know, if you're then in the National League and you're up for, you know, playing somebody in Rio for the title of national champion, maybe it's that as well. I don't know. What if you are a Brazilian and listening to this, what gets your dander up? I don't know why I said gets your dander up, like a sort of a 19th century, you know, boxing dandy or something. A bit odd.
Good, I like that though. I like that though.
Yeah.
Oh, Brazil.
Yeah. Do you have a hot?
Actually, yeah. Like, actually, yes. Actually, it's quite a good link here, actually, because I guess, you know, like, you know, moving on from the likes of Brazil or whatever, my hot is pumpings, David.
So, yeah, I can see where this is going.
In light of, and this is no news to anyone, Ajax winning 13-0 against Venlo away.
Venlo!
I realise that this is the season of pumpings, isn't it? So you had the start of the Bundesliga with Bayern Munich beating Schalke 8-0.
Yeah.
You had both...
Villa doing Liverpool 7-2.
And Man United in the same weekend.
Yes, that's right.
With Spurs, 6-1, 7-2. It's looking like it's a season where just some teams just every so often get absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
So I think that's in at the moment.
It is. It seems to be, very, very au fait, which is good. I'm for it. Yeah.
Something more interesting to talk about. And, like, surprisingly, we haven't, as Brojovka, been really on the end of it. I mean, we had four put past us by Sparta.
But that was to be expected, really.
Yeah, but we still kept it respectable with that goal. So, and I think something probably similar has also been happening in France as well. I think there's been a couple of weird hammerings of in the French leagues and so on. So, yes, very well done to all concerned, especially if you've
long may
caused
continue,
an upset.
I would say, all right, I've got a quick hot for you. I know you like your mascots.
Love a mascot.
So can I introduce you to the mascot of Runcorn Linnets FC?
Oh, Runcorn Linnets. Yes, the reformed Runcorn team. There's two of them.
Yeah. Whose mascot, I'm going to show you a picture because I have one here. Runcorn Linnets FC is called Ron Corn, and he's a giant corn on the cob.
Yes! Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
There he is. Ron Corn.
Ron Corn.
Yes. Corn bears no relationship to Runcorn whatsoever, apart from the word corn. That's literally the only reason they've chosen that.
That's better than Cali Thistle's mascot being a giant Subway sandwich for a while, man. That's great. It's just a stick of corn.
Yeah. Good, isn't it?
Blew the dog. That's a cracking one. Oh, yeah. That's good.
All right.
Oh, that's the best thing about this podcast, man. I'd have tuned in just for that.
Coming up next. I'll timestamp it, don't worry. If you want to hear about Ron Corn, skip to this bit.
Ron Corn. You think there's somebody called Ron Corn?
Sure, there is. You know,
like, it sounds like something that could be like K-O-R-N, like in Germany or something. Like, yeah,
no, I'd, I'd, In my head, I think he probably lives in, like, you know, Missouri or something and has no idea that there is a place called Runcorn. He probably, like, works for, like, you know, the local council.
Like a Runcorn cowboy. He works for the county. Like, I feel ashamed now because when you said they've got a mascot, I thought it was a linnet. I thought, but you wouldn't play me like that, you know?
Too obvious.
It's true.
Yeah. No, it's actually, they've actually dug up Phil Linnet. The corns are back in town.
Coming up next.
What is coming up next? We'll take a break and then we'll do something, don't worry. You've got a list.
I've got a list. I'm checking it twice.
It's not nice, is it?
No, it's not nice. Well, it can be sort of nice. I thought that, again, going with my theme that people aren't really bothered about a provincial Scottish team, I would go for my list of the five most ridiculous things associated with Aberdeen since the year 2000.
It's pretty good.
So, I don't know. It's in no particular order. That'd give me a number between 1 and 5.
4.
4. Oh, good one. It's from 2009. And I'll read this from BBC News.
Okay.
It comes from BBC News. A 24-year-old football fan dressed as a sheep suffered... Gets better. A 24-year-old football fan dressed as a sheep suffered serious burns to his arms and legs when his suit caught fire on a train in Fife. Aberdeen fans said the man ran ablaze through the carriage as they threw beer on him to douse the flames.
Lovely.
This is on the way back from an Aberdeen Hibernian game.
Good.
Apparently a guy thought it'd be funny to put a lighter beside the to the guy's sheep outfit and ended up having a very bad time.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, I believe someone was arrested for it. And the man suffered serious burns but went on to make a full recovery.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. serious burns.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thoughts are with his flock. All right, number two then. We'll go for number two. Aberdeen manager, yes. Steve Patterson leaves Pittodrie in a car boot to avoid paparazzi from 2004.
That's very Mourinho in a laundry basket.
Yes.
I like that.
Getting this is good, yeah. This is before this. So 2004.
A trailblazer then, in fact.
Steve Patterson, who... was relieved of his duties shortly after failing to turn up for a Premier League game against Dundee because he was hungover.
good Scottish excuse there.
Ended up going to Pittodrie, getting sacked, and then leaving in the in a car boot in order to avoid getting photographed. The club tried
car,
to play...
Car boots ale.
Good. 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 They tried to... this is also actually the reason why the AFC Chat, which was the Aberdeen FC's official forum on the club website, shut down because the news was broken there first by people.
Right.
The club tried to make it out that he was having like some stomach cramps or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, pains and couldn't go. And then everyone was like, I saw him out last night until like whatever o'clock. So there's Steve Patterson in the car boot is up there.
Didn't that happen to David Moyes as well when he was at... Real Sociedad,
the hungover thing, or the
he got into trouble by like he'd only been there like a month or something, and he missed a training session because he got absolutely ratted.
We've all been there, but I mean, not actually as a manager for a football team.
Yeah, he didn't last very long at Sociedad. Obviously,
he didn't actually. I don't think he was that popular. Was a
couple
he?
Of months, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
1, 3, or 5.
One.
Okay, this is probably the most well-known one. 2000. As part of cost-cutting measures with the club on the brink of financial crisis, Aberdeen make national news by removing the toaster from the home dressing room. So, Toastergate.
Of course it's called Toastergate.
Which is one of the defining moments of recently departed Ebbe Skodal's Aberdeen tenure, when the club had no money and no hope, and we were saved from relegation by... I think it was by Falkirk not having Brock Phil up to a good standard for football.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't get promoted and we got to stay, which was great. But yes, so there used to be a kettle and a toaster.
Oh, really? Wow, yeah.
In the dressing room, and they got rid of the toaster to save on electricity and then started having to charge for hot drinks.
Wow, that really is dire straits, isn't it? I mean,
mm-hmm. Lost like $2 million in a month or something like that. It was pretty bad. So there's that one, and then actually,
Ian Jess doesn't come for free, you know.
I know, so, right? Yeah. So slightly after the time, I think Ian Jess was till 1999, I think, or maybe early 2000s, 2001, potentially. He was more of a 90s player. I always remember Ian Jess as being, you know, one of my favourite players in the 90s.
Well, he was with us in 97.
Mm-hmm.
He came on during the Great Escape at Tottenham Hotspur. Mm-hmm. He came on for Peter and Love. Mm-hmm. I watched the highlights the other day.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
He came back as well. Like, he went away from Aberdeen and then came back as well. Like, a few players have done that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I know I mentioned Andy Considine in the last podcast, I believe.
Yes.
So yeah. Here is Andy Considine going viral for a raunchy video tribute to Baccarat's Yes Sir, I Can Boogie. Do you know about this one?
I know the song, but I don't know.
I will have to show you this. Right. A video which was leaked from, I believe, his stag night or his wedding, has him in full makeup and dressed as a woman with a bare midriff, miming along and grinding to the disco classic from 1979. And rather than, you know, causing a scandal or something like that, everyone in Scotland thought it was a good laugh.
Brilliant, yeah.
So, yeah, so still henceforth known as Boogie, Andy Considine.
Good, yeah.
And I guess the most serious one is the 2000 Scottish Cup final. Do you know anything about that final?
I'm going to say it took place between two teams in the Scottish league system, one of them being Aberdeen, I would assume. Right, firstly, I'm going to say you were there. No?
I was in New Deer on a scout training camp thing, and it was pishing at Doon.
Right.
And I'd always wish that I quit the scouts after that because I thought it was a load of balls anyway.
Shite,
but
yeah.
But then also, yeah, missed the cup final, which was not good.
Other than that, no, not really. I want to say broken goals, but that was him. Something like that? I don't know. Some kind of crowd nonsense? Or
all right, well, okay. So this was supposed to be the last game ever for Heroic. Well, what was the last game ever for Heroic Aberdeen goalkeeper Jim Leighton?
Ah, yes, yeah.
So Jim Leighton, who, you know, said the night on the eve of the match and, you know, an interview, whatever, that he would be, you know, he'd be the last player to leave the pitch. You know, obviously, you know, Heroic... a heroic display helped us to lift the 1983 European Cup Winners' Cup.
Yeah.
You know, he's that long, you know, service in professional football for, you know, 83 to 2000. So
Aberdeen Steve Agrizovic.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, fantastic goalkeeper Jimbo. So what happens after 2 minutes of the Scottish Cup final is he has a collision with Rod Wallace and breaks his jaw.
So you were playing Rangers,
yeah? We were playing Rangers, yes. That's important to note, actually. The rules at the time in the Scottish Cup, and this is going to sound absolutely insane in 2020, was that your subs bench was three. You had three subs
even
on the bench.
Even in 2000?
Three subs on the bench.
Wow.
Did Aberdeen have a goalkeeper?
Did they bollocks?
No. So we had Robbie Winters, the striker, go into goal to play 88 minutes of a cup final.
Brilliant.
Against a team that won the league. We lost 4-0, and it's a surprise to this day that we only lost
4-0. I was going to say, that's not that bad, actually.
He was surprisingly good in goal. Like, it's worth a watch, actually. But, I mean, it's incredibly painful, probably even more so for Jim Leighton. But he actually makes some really good saves.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so none of your bollocks... YouTube compilation of isn't it funny that, you know, John Terry goes in goal for 2 minutes, you know, because there's no one else in the stoppage time and they're 4-0 up at Charlton or some shit. No. 88 minutes.
That's a very specific scene you've painted there. I like that.
I watched the video of that once, of like goalies going in, like outfield players going in as goalies in the Premier League, and it was rubbish. It was all that sort of stuff.
Well, the bar that they have to beat is Phil Jagielka for yes. Sheffield United, classically.
Got beat Arsenal, I'm going to say?
I think so, yeah. And he had about half an hour, yeah, I think, between the sticks.
Shutout, right?
Yeah. It was pretty good, yeah.
That is good, actually. Yeah. Robbie Williams. Robbie Winters wasn't able to achieve.
He did
heroics.
Entertain you, he mind did. You. So.
Well, on a crack, you know, on one of these crappy radios in a scout tent. Dreadful memories. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Right. We're going to move on. We'll have one. Like I feel I cannot top ridiculous quizzes and Daft Aberdeen stuff. So we'll have one more bit of Cov section, then we'll have beer of the podcast, and then I think we really are struggling for content today.
Yeah.
So although at the end you have suggestions from listeners.
I have suggestions for listeners, and we have to go back and see what your answers are.
Indeed.
For this,
so
and the listeners' answers, of course.
Indeed. So stick around for those. After this Cov bit, which you can skip, which will come next. All right, I had a couple of things prepared. One was about our kind of iconic manager of the 60s, Jimmy Hill, but we've spoken a little bit about him, so I'm going to do the 87 FA Cup final, which is the only big trophy Coventry have ever won. We're not counting the Checkatrade trophy, fun though that was. And
it's still a trophy, though. It's still honours. It's still on the club's website.
It is, and it also got me so hungover that I nearly threw up on the plane back to the Czech Republic. It was touch and go for quite a long time on that. And that was a flight at about 4 p.m. as well. That was a, oh dear, yes.
You've got to love it.
That was a fucking expensive weekend, I tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, but you know, day out at Wembley, etc. Anyway, the other day out at an old Wembley was the FA Cup final in the year of our Lord, 1987, where Coventry, spoilers, won the FA Cup. Apart from the third round, we played every game in the run-up to the final away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we started in the third round with a home win against Bolton, 3-0, brushed them aside quite easily. Then it got a little bit trickier. Fourth round, Man United away. Beaten 1-0. Lovely stuff, yes. This was not classic Man United. This was 1987 Man United, who were not the force they... I was going to say R, but that's nonsense. I think we could probably have a good crack at Man United at the moment. Then fifth round, away to Stoke. We also won 1-0. Stoke were in Division 2, but they were top of Division 2 at the time. So, yeah. And, you know, hashtag tough place to go.
Yeah.
Even then, even when they were not up there.
Yeah, and it was on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, not on a sort of a cold Thursday night.
Yeah, a cold Thursday night. Where did Stoke play before they were at the Britannia? It was some classic old ground that I can't remember the name of. But yeah, some bleakness about an hour north of Coventry. Then sixth round, we were away at Sheffield Wednesday, another First Division team at the time, which was the top division then. Beat them 3-1. And then we returned to Hillsborough for the semi-final against Dirty Leeds.
Oh, Dirty Leeds.
Who we beat 3-2. And again, 87 Leeds is good Leeds.
Yes.
So, you know, that's a good win. We make it to the final. We play Tottenham Hotspur. Now, to give you a sense of how unbalanced this cup final was and how much this little provincial Midlands team was not supposed to win, this was our first ever cup final in any domestic competition ever. Spurs were in their third final in 7 years. Trying to win their 8th FA Cup overall, having never, ever lost an FA Cup final. So we were up against it, like, statistically.
Yes.
People were not really giving us that much of a chance. And they seemed to be absolutely right, because we were 1-0 down after about 90 seconds. Clive Allen scores. Clive Allen scores incredibly his 49th goal in all competitions of the season.
That's mad.
It is unbelievable.
There's so much lower league energy about that as well.
Yeah.
Because you know, someone like in like Northern Premier League, you know, Division South or something like that will score 50.
Yeah.
But 49 in a season in the first league of English football is mad.
Yep. It was a cross from the Waddler, the mighty Waddler. And Clive Allen heads home to score his 49th goal of the season. However, 5 minutes later or so, we are level as Dave Bennett gets the ball in the box, rounds the keeper.
I thought you were going to say Dave Besant for a minute. And I was like, what, really?
Certainly not Dave Besant.
Dave Bennett.
Yeah.
Gordon's brother.
That's right. If you go back to our football music special, the Sky, Sky Blues... cup final song that we featured that was on Blue Peter.
Yes.
Has Dave Bennett looking incredibly pleased with himself, stroke slightly confused as to why he's on Blue Peter.
Is he the lad that's got like the proper 80s tash, or am I thinking of someone else?
You're probably thinking of Mickey Quinn possibly. But yeah, you know, Dave Bennett, he had a great season. He actually scored, I think, he was our kind of cup specialist this year. I think he scored against Bolton. I think he scored the only goal against Stoke as well. Anyway, he rounds the keeper and sticks it past Steve Hodge, who's standing on the line for Spurs, and it's 1-1. 40 minutes, Gary Mabbott scores. He takes a shot. It's slightly unfairly deflected past a young but still looks 48 Steve Agrizovic in Coventry's goal. Oggy is an absolute Sky Blues legend, by the way. He played in this and he was our goalkeeper all the way up until, Leighton-esque 2002, maybe, I think his last game was. Something like that. Yeah. So we go in half-time 2-1 down. It's a heroic effort, but most people think, Spurs will probably polish these lads off. It's all fairly even. Actually, it's a very even and actually quite well-tempered game. There wasn't a single booking in the whole game.
Really?
Yes, it was just good, open, end-to-end stuff throughout the whole game. On 62 minutes, we get the cup final goal. Dave Bennett crosses. Keith Houchen comes flying in with a diving header from about 10, 12 yards out. It is still one of the top 10 all-time Wembley goals in most lists, including the BBC's list. It also won goal of the season.
Did you still have those wonderful standy uppy goals in like the late 80s as well, where it just sort of like goes in and just like bangs them out a bit, you know?
I can't remember what the goals at Wembley were like.
Those proper set-up nets.
Day. You know? They might have been the like sort of triangular, like on Aberdeen's shirt.
Those classic ones.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then it's sort of end-to-end stuff, chances for both sides, and it finishes 2-2, so we need extra time. Extra time comes around. In the 95th minute, Lloyd McGrath crosses, and who is there except the scorer of Spurs' second goal, Gary Mabbott, who sticks out his knee, and it sort of poings past Spurs goalkeeper into Spurs net to give Coventry a famous 3-2 win in extra time, and also giving the name to a famous Coventry City fanzine, Gary Mabbott's knee, which commemorates said mighty final goal. Yes, and Parada, there you go. Lifts a trophy, Brian Kilcline, and his massive shaggy mane gets up, wipes his muddy hands on his shirt, shakes the Queen's hand. She looks a little bit annoyed, but you know, indulges him. And you won't know this, but here's a quiz question. Manager of Cov at that point, any ideas?
No.
Because we had two.
You had two managers?
We had joint managers. One of the very, very, very rare times when joint management has worked.
God, like the Cowley brothers' skin routine must be fantastic, man, if they were managing so all the way back then as well.
There's John Sillett and George Curtis, who managed us for about 3 or 4 years as joint managers. Yeah. They were no.
It's just sort of like it's a part time thing. So one of them, you know, sort of like working in a bank Monday to Wednesday, and sort of comes in and does the.
No. It was a genuine, you know, and there didn't seem to be a lot of sort of acrimony, like in the Roy Evans is manager. Who's this Gerard Houllier chap? Oh, he's your co-manager. Shoves Roy Evans outside in a mid-90s Liverpool start. No, it seemed to work very well. There was a big, obviously, ticker tape parade through Coventry for raiding the cup, etc. And the bus that did the open top parade is in the Coventry National Museum of Road Transport.
Oh, okay.
So you can go and see it there, along with many, many other great things in the Coventry Museum of British Road Transport. So, yeah, that's me banging on about Coventry enough.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was, yeah.
I almost felt like I was there.
on that roasting hot July afternoon with a load of people speaking with an accent exceedingly rare and some people from Coventry.
Hey.
Beer of the podcast?
Beer of the podcast.
Hey. Beer of the podcast, it is Sam. And I've been slightly controversial this week because very few places are open to get anything. And I was in a bit of a rush today, so I just legged it down to my local Albert. And I got two different beers, one each. Because the one that I've got is one that I actually have had before and I like, but because the selection was so limited, I have just got you one that I don't think you will have had before, but I know I wouldn't like.
Oh, okay.
So we've got one each. They're both by the same brewery, however.
Okay.
So I'm going to show you your can because I poured it into a glass here.
The things you do for me.
Okay, this is yours.
Bear beer. Oh, it's a wheat beer.
It's bear beer. It's Norwegian.
Aha.
Apparently. It's imported.
It's all Japanese on this.
Imported line. Especially for Albert.
Oh, it's Chinese, actually. Sorry, China.
Yeah. The other thing that I like is because it's called bear beer, that's two words that Czechs pronounce almost identically. Bear beer.
Bear beer, yeah.
Yeah, it's bear, beer, bird, and beard. They can never work out those four differences. It's quite good.
That's one of the most popular beers in Romania, is Ursus beer, isn't it? Which also translates bear, as bear beer.
Bear beer, mate. So yeah, you've got the wheat one.
Let's just skim over that bit of a.
You've got the wheat one.
Road management over here.
I've got the IPA.
Oh god!
In a green can, and I know how you feel about IPA.
Wait, is that a green can with a by appointment to the Royal Danish Court on it? I wonder who they try to replicate with this.
Yeah, it's weird that, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably be the best IPA in the world.
So it's not Norwegian, it's Danish. I was lied to. Yeah, it's from Harbours.
If it was Norwegian beer, it would have been about 20 quid a can.
That's true, yeah. It's from the Harbours brewery, Harboe. Anyway, there it is.
Harbour. Wasn't he one of the Marx brothers?
Anyway, let's have a go. Let's have a crack at this. Obviously.
Oh, yeah, boy. That obviously smells like a.
This is the first time we're not tasting the same thing, but we'll do it anyway. This whole episode is slightly unusual, so bear beer with us. Yeah, I know. Just.
It's all right, that's 10 minutes to go. We can get through this.
Drink your wheat beer. Come on. I'm going to let you have a go on that while I fill dead air. How's that?
Oh, that's
words, silence.
It's starts. I have to go back in.
All right.
quite like that. I don't think I could drink a great deal of it, but I quite like that. I thought it was starting off like a, you know, like a whole garden. Questions about how much you can really differentiate between wheat beers anyway. But then it gets very sweet. It's very very banana-y.
Well, it's 26 crowns for a half-litre can in Albert, so...
Seen worse.
Yeah.
Not too bad for a can.
Yeah, it's decent. Of like, it's relatively strong as well. 5%. 5%, yeah.
Yeah, they're not shortchanging you.
No, certainly not. So yeah, that's our slightly truncated and slightly controversial beer of the podcast. We've got one final section, which is just kind of a mishmash, isn't it, of bits and pieces. You've got my wrong answers,
yes,
to things, and some listeners' questions, which will also include a preview to something we're going to do towards another non-Czech League happening episode, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, so let's have a look at those after this. So, wrong answers only.
Yes, we had a short quiz to remind yourself and our listeners at home, who are encouraged to tweet in their answers at Zbrojovcast and onto Facebook as well. Walker's Crisps initially released two football-themed flavours. What was the other flavour that they added?
Right, I've got four options. They're all as bad as each other.
Oh, good.
After former Sunderland midfielder, we've got Michael Reddy Salted.
Uh-huh.
Noose Campy Fries.
Yes.
I believe his name is Bradley Orr. He was a sort of 2000s midfielder. Worcester's Oars.
Oh, that's good.
Worcester's Oars.
Uh-huh.
And Jordan Pickford Onion.
Oh, that's a good one, actually.
Yeah. So those are my efforts.
That's a decent one. Appreciate that one. That was good.
Yeah.
I realize I should have.
It's as good as I've got, really.
I realize I should have spent my time thinking of answers for this as well. There you go.
Well, you didn't.
All right. Sour cream and Hyungmin. All right. Okay. This one I do have, actually. So Bleacher Report named Swansea City's mascot as the best in English League football. Name that mascot.
Well, it was a controversial day, actually, because they actually wheeled out former Brazil 1994 goalkeeper Taffarel.
I went for Taff the Giraffe. Taffarel, that's quite good.
There you go.
Oh, fantastic.
That's my effort there.
Of course, it's the actual answer is...
Is it Sammy the Swan?
Cyril the Swan, I believe.
Good.
And, okay, well, you'll definitely do better than my one for this. Because where do the Cape Coast Mysterious Dwarfs play?
Shortman Road.
Unreal. Unreal. Unreal.
What was yours?
Snow White Memorial Stadium. Because you can inevitably beat those answers, please feel free to... put in your answers on the social media channel of your choice, hopefully our ones. I did ask everyone later about things that they wanted to see.
Mm-hmm. Or hear.
Or hear.
Ideally.
Yes, that would be... We're actually branching out into streaming.
Better bloody not be.
Growing a neck beard and getting good at Super Mario Kart for it. We actually got given a lot of questions.
Oh, good.
Would you like a couple of them?
Yeah, why not?
Because the Blansko Klobasa, who else would like to hear a list of your favourites? This means you as in we, but I'm going as yours and you.
All right. only who can answer this question?
I think I can answer this one actually for you, because it says favourite ever Zbrojovka player. I don't have one, and I imagine that yours is Marek Heinz.
Probably Marek Heinz, yeah. Got quite a lot of love for Pavzav.
Mm-hmm.
And Jan Trolsil as well. I enjoyed his work. Yes, there we go. I mean, those might not even be my answers, but they were the ones that came to came to the fore.
Fantastic. I think it's a quick fire questions thing, isn't it? Favorite away ground.
Oh well, this requires more thought.
It does, doesn't it?
I think,
but
yeah.
As a,
can we do that one next time? Maybe
we can do that one next time.
Or we can maybe do a kind of episode of like grounds of the Czech Republic because we've been to enough of them.
We
maybe
could
maybe
definitely do that.
Yeah, maybe we'll use that as special material at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, any ones that.
That's your way to get around an answer, though. Give me your top of your head answer.
All right, top of my head answer.
Yeah.
Bohemka. But yeah.
Best thing about living in Brno. I'm assuming they mean the actually living in Brno,
yeah,
and not
the actual
not the
experience,
group.
Not
yeah.
the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Friendliness.
Aww.
It's a very friendly town. City.
Do you have a favourite pub?
I used to. Not anymore.
Oh.
Anyway.
That's about wraps it up for Zbrojovcast. actually, we would like to tackle these properly. Later on, would you like to hear some other things that they would like us to tackle?
Yes,
they. We've had Martin who tweets in that he would like to hear historical content surrounding old Czech top leagues of the late 90s.
That we can do.
I thought it was
in
a good
future
show.
Episode. Yeah, that's good.
Why we haven't been able to get another player on?
That's not a full episode.
Yeah.
I would say.
May I answer for the committee?
Money and mismanagement.
I was gonna say language and COVID, but okay, yes. But money and mismanagement as well. My friend and yours, Roman Vanjek.
Oh, right. Did he mean player on here?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Language and COVID, not money and mismanagement. We're not paying anybody.
Shh. Roman Vanjek would like to hear our opinion on Berber and the next important steps on the whole of Czech football.
Again, that's something we're going to have to think about and deal with later on. But yeah, good question there.
We've been asked all sorts of things about favourite game, favourite town, favourite footballer, favourite Czech footballer, and so on. And what I thought was particularly interesting one later on was going to be favourite kits.
Nice.
Particularly
okay.
Favourite kit of this season and favourite kit of all time, which I would have a tough time thinking about.
So I think that's at least two full solid episodes there. There is a 90s Czech football episode and there is a favourites episode, which are both still to come. So thank you for that, everyone.
Yes.
That's excellent suggestions.
I think on a very serious note regarding all that, and we do appreciate you taking the time to get involved, is that it's looking, I'd say, almost certain that we're not going to have any more Czech league football
this
until 2021.
Year, yeah.
So we are going to, as the law permits, to still do this podcast while being in the same spot. We might have to then move it again to Zoom or some other platform. But there's going to be a lot of time for us all to do these episodes. So feel free to just keep annoying us with what you'd like to hear. And we will accommodate it. Unless it's a really crap idea and we say no.
Yeah.
If you do have a crap idea, it's brojovcast@gmail.com.
No, crap ideas are also welcome. You know, we had crisp naming. So.
going into next week. Well, David, I also did my top 10 white nationalists. In at number 8, P.W. Botha of South Africa.
Okay. Yeah.
He was a South African, David.
Oh, massive racist, you gotta love them? No.
Afrikaners, you gotta love them! Oh, this is going horribly wrong. Oh, thank God we're over an hour. Let's pack it up.
Let's play out with something absolutely lovely based around the Hot or Not theme tune for the day. And, yeah, as we said, if you have anything to say, ask us, compliment us on, tell us to shut up about, at Sporovcast on all the usual platforms. Thanks very much, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!
There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight. All over the world, you can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean? Just the two of us and nobody else in sight. There's nobody else, and I'm feeling good just holding you tight. So listen very carefully, closer now, and you will see what I mean. It isn't a dream. The only sound sound.